Good morning. Good morning and welcome this third Sunday of Advent to Gates Presbyterian Church. And whether you have been a member here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad that you are here. There is a bulletin, hopefully in your hands, that is full of calendars and announcements for you to look over the ways that we are a community of faith together. And you are also invited, especially in this time of great sadness in the life of our country, to join us in prayer. Every Wednesday during Advent from 6 until 6:30, the sanctuary is open for silence and prayer together. A few announcements, just a few. One, from the Mission Committee, thank you to all of those who donated food, your time, your energy in preparing the meal or serving. Many wonderful guests were fed yesterday, and we are grateful for the ways that this church life provides and serves together. Are there any other announcements this morning? Caroline has one.
Junior has and senior has. Tonight we're going caroling. We will go in different directions, but be here and join us. We need your voice, 6 to 8. Thanks.
And one final reminder, if you have not yet bought your book plate in honor or memory of someone, those new hymnals will be here before we know it, but it's not too late. They are $15. There's a table set up right outside the sanctuary, and please go ahead and purchase one of those. And now, friends, let us gather our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please rise as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Come, hear the good news.
The Savior of the world draws near.
in the midst of trouble and discomfort.
God surrounds us with joy.
Open your hearts wide.
Sing God's praise.
We bring before God our brokenness and the darkness of our world. Let us join together in the prayer of confession. In your promised coming, holy God, we are frantic to please the crowds with gifts, meals, and decorations. It makes us uncomfortable to hear that you call us to share what we have with those who have none. We ignore that call and turn away from the joy of your promise. Open our hearts and prepare a new way. We bring before God our silent prayers of confession. Those beautiful voices of the children. Friends, we hear the good news. God's love and joy is given without limitation. Rejoice, rejoice, O come, Emmanuel.
I invite the Shabansky family forward to light the third candle of the Advent wreath. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. A baby sent to us by God. A baby who scratches our imagination with promise, and we dare to envision discomfort and joy in his tender care. Invite the children forward. Is Jesus here yet? Is there a baby in the manger? Oh, it's not Christmas yet. And we only have how many candles left? One. Absolutely. So soon, and we continue to wait and wait and wait. And while we wait, let's hear the stories. So let's go over there. I'm going to sit over there. And you can sit around me. I'm going to sit right here. Last week, I told you a story about Zechariah and Elizabeth and about the fact that God sent them a baby when they were very, very old. Does anybody remember the name of that baby? Not Jesus, not Zechariah. That was a good... John. That's exactly right. John. Well, in the story today, we learn that, yes, that did happen. John was born. And John grew up to be a grown man, but he was a little bit of a weird, strange man. He traveled around and he wore clothes made out of camel's hair. And you know what he ate? He ate bugs. And a little bit of wild honey. And he lived in the wilderness. But God had a very important task for John to do. God wanted John to prepare the people for Jesus. Jesus coming as a grown man, as Son of God, to teach the people about God. But John was a little disturbed because he didn't really think the people were ready to meet John, Jesus. He didn't think that the people were ready to meet Jesus. And in fact, he said to them, "You folks, you are like a brood of vipers." You know what that means? That means you're like a bunch of snakes. Well, that wasn't very nice, was it? Well, then he went on to say, "You're just not ready to have Jesus come to your neighborhood and meet you." So the people said, "What can we do? What can we do to get ready to meet Jesus? Jesus is coming." And John said, "You can share. You can share your things. You can share your food. You can share your clothing, your toys. You can share your things with people that don't have food and clothing and other things." You can share your what? And share your friends. Yes, that's a good idea. So that other people can have friends too. That's right. So the people said, "Okay." And you know, I think that's really good advice for us too. I think that we should hear John say, it's important to share. God wants us to share. To share all our things, our toys, our food. And we do that, a lot of that around here. How many of you have seen the mitten tree? That's one way we're sharing. We're sharing gloves and mittens and scarves with people that don't have gloves and mittens and scarves. And how many of you have seen all the packages in the foyer? Yeah. We're sharing gifts with the people at Cameron Community Ministries. Well, as a church, we like to share. Well, let's have a prayer. Ready? Oh, God, thank you for coming to our world, to our neighborhood. Help us to get ready. Help us to share. Amen. All right, you may go to your classes.
First reading of the word this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel."
Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered them all by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with other exhortations, John proclaimed the good news to the people. I will be the first to admit these words hardly sound like good news. And if this is the good news, I'm not sure I want to hear the bad. We've had enough of that this week. From coast to coast, the news has been of a shooter opening fire on unsuspecting Christmas shoppers in Portland, Oregon, killing two and wounding one. And just as our heads stopped shaking in disbelief, 3 days later, a gunman walked into Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, opening fire on children, teachers, the principal, and staff. The lives and futures of 20 children and 6 adults were taken from them, from their families, and their friends. John the Baptizer can bring on his words from the wilderness about unquenchable fires and the imminent judgment of the wrath to come, but these threats barely touch the discomfort we are feeling when we know we can't even keep our babies safe. Tragedies like the one in an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut, in a shopping mall in Portland, a house of worship in Wisconsin, a movie theater in Colorado, outside a grocery store in Tucson, an Amish schoolhouse in Pennsylvania, and a high school in Columbine. And on our street corners almost every week in our own community, take us from the joy where we want to be this third Sunday in Advent, to the discomfort of the dark world where we are. We want so badly to be thinking about what final Christmas preparations there are to do, What menu will be at the Christmas Eve or Christmas Day dinner with our families? What gifts still need to be purchased and unwrapped? And instead, we are thinking about those parents and families that will be unwrapping the gifts that will never be given. We want to be thinking about getting to Bethlehem and the sweet baby in the manger as we sing Asleep on the Hay. And instead, we are wondering why God hasn't made right this broken and hurting world so that all human life can be safe from the threats of violence. Violence that even the Son of God will face after being laid in that manger, and eventually will be the cause of his death. We want the joy of the season. But what are we supposed to do with all of this? Whether we want to talk about these kind of questions or not, we all have them. And they simmer inside of us, seeking some kind of release through rational explanations, naming and blaming someone to be at fault, and there will be a time for that. But in the meantime, much of the release for the simmering of American public commentary will take place on the television, via the internet, and through social networks. And we already know from the last 48 hours what the analysis will be. Everyone will say what a tragedy it is, and over and over and over again, the images of terrified and sobbing parents standing in a parking lot will flash into our living rooms. But quickly, the images and blog roles will switch. Progressives calling for more gun control, and conservatives will argue that tragedies like these are why more people should carry guns. We will confuse our grief and loss and pain for our neighbors who suffer with fear-filled politics, accusations, and name-calling. We will spend more time running from our emotions by fighting and politicizing our pain via Facebook posts than actually doing anything about it. So what then should we do? The crowds ask John the Baptizer. What then should we do indeed? The crowds raising this question to John are no strangers to the hardship of life and the darkness of this world. In the Gospel of Matthew, the author specifically names religious authorities as the main audience of John's preaching, while here in Luke, the audience of those following John are vaguely addressed as the crowds. He names a few specifics, the tax collectors, the soldiers. And one might think that a group of people like these have a lot of privilege in Roman society. But keep in mind, these are Israelite people, Abraham's ancestors, who are working for the Roman government. So to the Romans, they are nothing more than marginalized pawns used to exploit the people in this occupied territory. And to the Israelite people, folks like these are ignored and despised for what they are doing. This morning, I am not hearing John the Baptizer's words, broods of vipers, necessarily as judgment, but a naming. A naming of the meaninglessness the people already feel, that what they are doing, who they are, isn't making any bit of difference in this world. They hear John preach about God's promises that all flesh shall see salvation, and they want to know, what can we do? And following Friday's shooting in Connecticut, we are asking the same questions. What can we do? This isn't like a natural disaster, like the hurricane that just hit the East Coast, where we can send money or supplies or volunteer our time and our skills to aid in the recovery efforts. John's basic ethics of justice are wise words of wisdom for us this morning, for how we all can focus our grief and pain and disbelief of this tragedy in tangible ways. First, it is not so much even what John says, but what he's doing. John is modeling for the crowds that God's salvation is for all by acknowledging their questions, their struggles, and their pains. He listens. And then he invites them to play a role in the coming of God's kingdom. And notice what he tells them isn't all that complicated, or even all that spiritual. To the poor crowds, share what you have. To the tax collectors, take only what is fair. To the soldiers, don't extort or complain about what you have. Put very, very plainly, share, be fair, keep not more than you need and treat others with care, and be honest. John doesn't ask them to answer all the deep theological questions of life or somehow take all the pain away from the world. He spends time with a group of people who feel otherwise helpless in their lives, in their hurt, and in their meaninglessness, and offers them a way to experience the joy of the coming Messiah. This is the promise we are invited to in the midst of the stories of pain and suffering in our lives, in our communities, and in our world, wherever we are and whatever we are doing. Following the shooting in Connecticut, a few people have remembered the wise words of late Presbyterian pastor Fred Rogers, better known to many as Mr. Rogers. And he said that when I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I am always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in the world. If you are a parent, you can teach your children peace and limit the amount of violent media they are exposed to. No matter the age of your child, they will be talking about what happened with their friends. But they will also be listening to the ways you talk about what happened with your spouse, your friends, and your neighbors. So rather than sensationalizing the violence, help your child look for and tell the stories about the helpers. And if you are a teacher, provide care in any way to our children. On Monday, you will be overwhelmed with the fact that far too many kids who still believe there are monsters in their closets were exposed to excessive amounts of news covering these events. Do whatever you can to listen to their stories and their difficult questions. Many of their questions will be so much bigger than you expect. Respond honestly. Admit you don't know why, but it is your question too. And tell them over and over and over again that they are safe and they are loved. And if you are going back to a job tomorrow that feels meaninglessness, remember the people around you probably feel much the same way. Treat one another with care. If you are without a job right now, don't underestimate the impact you have on people wherever you meet them. If you are a citizen of this country, don't ignore or trivialize the consequences or the misuse of guns. Unless you are willing to be part of meaningful conversations, do not post thoughtless comments on Facebook or email forwards to your contact lists. That only feeds the fire of ignorance bred from fear. And if you are a person of faith, the Advent season calls on us to be present and name the discomfort and suffering in our lives and struggle with the ways we can be faithful to the promised joy of the coming Christ child. God knew very well what sort of world God's own self would come into. A world where people treated each other badly and treated children even worse. But God still came. This is the promise of Advent. There is discomfort now, but there will be joy.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Dorothy Munt, Marge Woods has asked me to thank everybody for the Christmas card she's been receiving.
I'm Bob Fennell. My wife Sherry has to have another eye surgery tomorrow, so you just think about her, pray for her. Thank you.
Marge Westfall, I'd like to ask for prayers for a dear friend of ours whose 28-year-old son was just diagnosed with brain cancer and has 2 to 4 months to live.
Babe Meyer, I'd like prayers for my nephew, Jim Nichols, who will be having heart surgery done tomorrow.
Tom's dad.
Prayers for Tom Ward, whose father is dying.
We have prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for families, for grandparents, and Christmas trees. Prayers for a birthday. Prayers for healing for those to stay well and not be sick on Christmas. We pray prayers of joy for new haircuts, for successful surgeries, and for sharing toys and reindeer cams. Prayer is a joy that a brother is home for Christmas break. And many of our children lift in prayer the families in Connecticut, and that they pray that this never happens again.
Let us pray. God of comfort, our hearts are broken. Oh God, we struggle to find ways to even describe the depth of our pain surrounding the tragedy in Newtown. In truth, even the word tragedy does not seem strong enough. The unimaginable has happened, and we want to scream, to cry, to shake our fist. Yet really what we want are answers to our haunting questions. Why are young children gunned down? Why are dedicated educators executed? Why is mental illness unattended? Why are we having trouble finding light in this season of light? With each news report, we seek to make sense out of this horrific event, yet nothing is rational. And then we hear the words of Isaiah. The Lord is my strength and my might. And we remember that indeed your strength and might will carry us through the dark times of our lives. Your strength and your might will empower us to ask, like the crowd in front of John the Baptist, what can we do? Inspire us, O God, as together we explore that question, what can we do? Guide us in conversations. Support us in action. Fill us with courage. Give us the determination to be your light in our world. Now, O God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers as we pray for all who have lost cherished loved ones in Newtown. Hear us now as we pray the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power
and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bring our gifts forward.
Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes and offerings as a token of our thankfulness for your continued blessings upon us. Help us to use them to further your kingdom here on earth. Please accept them and multiply their effectiveness so that your will may be accomplished. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Indeed, tidings of comfort and joy surround us as we go from this place into the darkness of this world. And friends, if you need additional time and space and prayer to offer to God those hurtings that have happened, I invite you on Wednesday from 6 until 6:30 here in the sanctuary. We will also remember the name of all those who died that day. And so we go, friends, into the darkness with the hope, the comfort that Christ's light will shine. Amen.